to speak to our hearts, that we might understand His Word and apply it to our lives. John chapter 14, we'll read verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name and ask that you would empower me, strengthen me to preach the message that you've laid on my heart. Lord, would you, your word, Lord, would you help me to clearly preach your word? Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us to understand it. Lord, I also ask that Satan and all of his forces would have no influence here tonight. Lord, would your name be glorified? I ask that you would build faith tonight. Lord, would you show us your plan for our lives? Lord, I ask that you would strengthen us in our inner man, that we might grab a hold of this promise by faith and see it accomplished in our lives. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus opens it in this verse, at the very beginning of this verse, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. And this verily, verily, we don't use much nowadays, but Jesus is emphasizing that he's telling the truth. This is no exaggeration. This is no ideal that is incapable of being realized. He's saying, I'm telling you the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you. And he says, he that believeth on me. Now we'll come back to what it means to believe here, because that's really the key to the whole passage. But it's amazing that Jesus opens up this promise to every one of us. He says, he that believeth on me. Now he could have said, if you believe on me, speaking to the 11 disciples, and limiting the application somewhat to just them. But he didn't. He said, he that believes on me. That is open not just to the 11 apostles of that day. It's not open just to the first century believers. It's not open just to the people of a certain generation or a certain place. It is open to all believers of all time. Jesus says, he that believeth on me. Continues on and says, the works that I do shall he do also. Now, what sort of works is Jesus talking about here? Most of the time when we think about the works that Jesus did, we think about the miracles. We think about the feeding of the 5,000. We think about how Jesus healed the lame people and blind and raised the dead. We think of how he demonstrated his command over the elements of nature by stilling the stormy sea. We think about those things when we think about the works that Jesus did. But those are not the works that Jesus is talking about here. Because he says, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. So as everyone who has believed on Jesus calmed a stormy sea or multiplied food miraculously or healed people with a touch. No. And it's not those works that Jesus is talking about here. So what works is Jesus talking about? Well, as I've thought about it, it's really the work that Jesus came to do was to enable people, help people to understand who the Father was and how to have a right relationship with the Father and who he was and how to have a right relationship with him. This is the work that Jesus was involved in for 3.5 years as he walked this earth. And it's the work that he has passed on to us. As we go to the Great Commission, we think about what Jesus was telling his disciples to do. in one of the probably the most well-known of the passages in Matthew, Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And as many of you probably know, that means to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus. That is the first thing. It's the core of the Great Commission. And so just as Jesus was making followers of the Father and making followers of himself, so he has delegated that to us so that we have the opportunity of helping people to have a right relationship with the Father and with Jesus. See, this is the work of the Great Commission. This is where Jesus is passing the work that he did on to his 11 disciples and on from his 11 disciples to each one of us. This is the work that Jesus is talking about. The work that I do, the works that I do, shall he do also. And as we think about the works, we think about how did Jesus do those works? Because obviously he was 100% God. And we would think, well, he was God. Of course he could do those things because he was God. And yes, he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And as we read through the Gospels, and especially the book of John, we find that Jesus did not accomplish the works that he did in his own strength and in his own power. He did it in the strength of the Father, in the power and authority of the Father. In fact, let's look right at the surrounding context. We'll begin at verse 7. Jesus says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And if we stopped right there, we might think, well, that's probably good. Philip is just asking and saying, if we could just see the Father, then that would be enough. We wouldn't need anything. If we could just see him, just in his purity and his holiness, if we could just see him, then that would be all that we would need. But look at Jesus' rebuke. He says, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Jesus was saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why are you asking to see the Father? If you've seen me, don't you know me? Because, see, Jesus was manifesting the life of the Father. To see Jesus was to see the Father. He continues on and says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." So Jesus points the source both for his words and for his works, his actions, to the Father. Let's look at John chapter 5, verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." Now, how could Jesus say, "I can of mine own self do nothing," when he was God incarnate? He had all power. He had all authority. He did not cease to be God when he came in the incarnation, but he limited himself. You see, when he was speaking as the Father gave him the words to speak. And as he was performing miracles, it was not in his own power and authority. It was in the power and the authority of the Father. This is how Jesus did his work. He spoke his words. See, this is how Jesus did his works. And it's the pattern for you and for me. Because we of our own self can do nothing. See, the words that we speak and the actions, the works that we do must be sourced from above. They must be His words, His works. Because when we are doing, as Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do also, everyone who believes on Him. Those words and those works are in the power and in the authority of God. Not in our own power and our own ability and our own authority. You know what that means? There's hope for every one of us. Because it's not based on talent. It's not based on ability. It's not based on how old or how young you are. It is based on nothing more than our relationship with Him. In a sense, each one of us have the same potential before God. And it's as it is His words that are spoken through us. It's as His authority flows through us. And it's as He empowers us to do His works, His plan on this earth. That is when His works are accomplished. And they're God-sized, not us-sized. When we look at what we expect God to do in our church, in our lives, I believe oftentimes we limit our God. Because we expect just a little bit more than what we can achieve in our own strength. We think, okay, I know that I can do about this much, and I, you know, if God helps me, maybe I can do just a little bit more and just do more than, oh, God has a plan far beyond that for each one of us. Because here we are talking about God's power and God's authority. And Jesus says, the works that I did, exactly what I did in helping people to follow the Father and to follow me and to be working with people and challenging them and discipling them and all of these things that Jesus did, He says, you're going to do it too. Condition, believing. But He even goes beyond that. In what would seem to be a promise that would blow our minds, He says, and greater works than these shall He do, because I go unto my Father. Greater works than Jesus did? Me? Doing greater works? You doing greater works than Jesus did? What are we talking about here? See, these are works that are greater in scope and in response. He told us that they're the same kind. The works that I do, you're going to do also. The same kind of works. But it's going to be greater in scope and in response. And as we look at the book of Acts, we find that. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches the gospel. 3,000 are saved. That's works greater in scope and in response than Jesus saw. And as we continue to read through the New Testament, we find that the gospel is going from region to region. People are getting saved. Churches are being planted. The good news is exploding. It's going everywhere. Those works greater in scope and in response than Jesus did. And the same promise is for you and I today. Let the impact of that sink in. Because this is a promise that any one of us, anyone, can claim. If the Bible is true, this is a promise for each one of us. Whoever, he that believeth. And it's for works even greater in scope and response than Jesus saw in his own life. And it's all in the plan of the Father. See, this is what God wants to do in the life of every believer. Everyone who has trusted in the Lord Jesus for their salvation. See, this is what God wants to do in every church. You look at it and say, well, what's the basis for that? Jesus answers that question. Because I go unto my Father. So what's different with Jesus at the right hand of the Father? Well, part of it is a special promise of answered prayer. Next verse. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Later in this discourse, Jesus says, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. So Jesus is saying, this is something new. You haven't had this before. Basically, he's saying, I've told you that this is what my will is. And it's revealed in his word here. It says, if you ask for something that is in my plan, in my will, pre-authorized, in my name, you can have it. Absolute certainty. Now, Jesus didn't tell us when we would receive it, but he promised that we would. So if we look at God's word and say there is a promise, it clearly fits with this situation. He has pre-authorized it. It's in his name. We can ask and with confidence know that we can receive it. That's how the works that Jesus did, and even greater works, are accomplished. It's as we pray. Not only that, but with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us. Why are we able to accomplish the works that Jesus did? Because we have deity indwelling us. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers, enables, gives us wisdom. See, this is what God has done so that this promise can be a reality in your life and in mine. Not only that, but he has opened up the opportunity for us to live in an abiding relationship with him so that, as John 15 says, that we bear much fruit. See, he has God's plan for each one of us is that we see great works done in our lives and through us. Now, that will look different for each one of us. Looked different for Stephen than it did for Peter. And it looked different for Peter than it did for Paul. See, we see in the New Testament a wide variety as far as the expressions of it, of the fulfillment of this promise. But we can know with confidence that God has a plan for us that goes beyond what we our plan for ourselves. Because we serve a God that does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it's as we live in dependence upon him, living in his power and his authority, that his works are accomplished through us. And as we come back to it, there's this, the key to the whole passage is believing. What does it mean to believe? Well, let's go back to what it means to believe for salvation. In order to be saved, a person must understand that they are a sinner, understand that they deserve hell, understand that Jesus paid the penalty for that sin, and understand that if they depend, that they will be saved. They have to understand that. But they not only have to understand it, they have to agree with it. I am a sinner. I deserve hell. Jesus paid for my sin. And if I depend upon him, he will save me. Is that person saved yet? No. Because there is the actual casting of the dependence upon Jesus. And that's when they're saved. How often do we look at the promises in God's word? We understand them. We understand that Jesus says, if you believe on me, then you're going to accomplish the works that I did, and even greater than that. We understand that. Do we agree with it? Yes, this is what God wants to do in my life. Then there's the dependence. Am I going to depend on Jesus step by step, day by day, to manifest his life in me. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, he was a perfect manifestation of the Father. He did the works, the words, everything was what the Father, it was a manifestation of the Father. And God has called each one of us to manifest the life of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 11. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That, in order that, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. This is what God has called us to do. It's as God brings trials, as God brings difficulties into our life, that it provides the opportunity for Christ's life to be seen. My father-in-law, Mike Reed, whom some of you might know, owns a portable sawmill. And he goes to different places and cuts up wood for people. Well, one time he was on his way back with his truck and this portable sawmill in tow. And he came up to a stop sign just maybe a couple miles away from his house. And the truck died. I mean, it was done. It would not start. It would not go anywhere. So he had to call the mechanic to come, and honestly, it was a rather frustrating situation. But he yielded his frustration to the Lord, called out to the Lord for his patience, reckoned himself dead to his frustration at that time, and trusted that God had a purpose in it. Well, the mechanic came. And I don't know exactly what happened as far as getting the truck fixed. Eventually they got it fixed and so on and so forth. But that started a relationship between that mechanic and my father-in-law. And as they continued to go through and they started the exchange Bible study and the Lord continued to work in this mechanic's heart, he told my father-in-law that looking back to that time, he saw something different in my father-in-law. He said, I want that. And just a couple months ago, my father-in-law was able to lead that mechanic to the Lord. See, this is what we're talking about. It's a daily practical situation of life where we have to die to our own frustration, our own anger, our own way of handling things. When God brings those difficulties into our life so that Christ's life may be seen through us. So that the world can see Christ, and when the world sees Christ, their lives are changed. And that's when his works are accomplished in and through our lives. But what if God brings a difficult circumstance into our life, and instead our life is seen? Our life has never changed anybody. See, it's when God brings the difficulties, and we let his life be seen. By depending upon him in those times. Depending on him in the daily aspects of life. So that when the opportunities for witness or the opportunities for all sorts of different things come along, then we can depend upon him for that. And depend upon him in every step of every that we take throughout every day. Jesus' life is seen and the world is changed. Jesus said, works greater in scope and in response. I'm paraphrasing, putting it in there. Greater works than these shall he do. Will you be one of them that sees the works that Jesus did in your life? And even greater works. How many will be followers of Jesus because you demonstrated the life of Christ? See, this is God's plan for every one of us, and he lays it wide open. It says, he that believes on me. Who will take this promise tonight? Who will take the invitation that Jesus offers to lay down your life in order that you might manifest the life of Christ, that others' lives would be changed through your life. See, this is the promise that Jesus says. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this is the rock solid truth. I'm not exaggerating. This is no exaggeration. This is no ideal that's unattainable. He says, "This is truth. Will you believe it?" Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would enable me to take this promise for myself. Lord, I ask that you would work in each one of our lives, that we would believe you, that our world would be changed as your life is manifest. Father, would you do the fullness of the work that you desire to do tonight? In Jesus' name.